lovelies, welcome back to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So this is the first episode in 2020, I believe. We're on the 19th today, I think. This is the first episode. Whoops. So thank you for all your patience and waiting for this episode. The past few weeks have really been just like getting back to a feeling of normalcy and back in control, kind of. I don't know about you, but like for me and Pip and like everyone I knew, pretty much, it's like the end of 2019 was just wild. Like the energies were just all over the place and everyone was like sick, and I was sick and it was really weird. Like I've never been sick over Christmas before, and this one like got me for weeks. So it was just a lot happening, and I really just wanted to take the beginning of 2020 to just rest, you know, get back to normal, but also just relax a little bit. It was my birthday on the 4th, so I really enjoyed that. I am officially 30 now, and I love it. I love being 30. So, you know, a couple of times I kind of was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do an episode today, and then I wouldn't really feel it, and I never really want to do it when I just don't feel inspired at all. I mean, I want to keep up with my schedule, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to put something out just because, and then it not be interesting or not be useful. But today, what I want to talk about is, well, the first thing I want to say, actually, is that my first tarot class was last night. I'm teaching an intuitive tarot class, which is a 6-week class at the Four of Wands, and it's completely full, completely booked out, which is just amazing. So thank you so much, everyone that's in that class. And yeah, last night was the first class, and yeah, it was great. I loved it. I was so nervous, oh my god, because I've never taught on that scale before. I've never taught like a group before. So apart from like I did a lecture last year and a Q&A on mediumship at the Honors College, so it's kind of similar but different as well. Like I've come up with the syllabus basically, and I'm making everything that we're learning from and our study materials and all of that, and then I'm teaching it and like standing in front of the class and answering questions and all the good stuff. And I was just super nervous, but it went really well. I felt like it went really well, and I asked, you know, people how they found it, and they really enjoyed it. It was the introduction class, so we went through things like the tarot history and like choosing a deck and breaking a deck in, and all kinds of things like that. And we kind of looked at different decks and like see what people like in a deck and all the good stuff. And then this next Saturday coming, well, the Saturday coming, we are going to be doing the Major Arcana. And I'm like, is 1 week going to be enough? But we'll see. I can shift things around a little bit if I want to, because I'm the teacher. It was really funny. Like, I've been to a couple of the like meditations and things that Melissa, who's the owner of the Four of Wands, has held. And so every just a couple times throughout the class, I kept getting this feeling of like I wanted to look up and see like what next, or like there was gonna be, you know, a teacher or someone saying, okay, next we're gonna do this. And then kept having this realization, like, no, it's me. It's still me. It's still me. I'm still the teacher. I'm the one that decides when we move on. So it was, I kept, like, having this realization, and it was just, I don't know. I kind of felt afterwards, like, it felt really good. Like, I felt like I was, like, kind of channeling, you know, as well, information and teaching, which is how I do readings as well. And afterwards, like, we came home, and I felt really, like, the word I keep thinking is, like, I felt drained, but not in a bad way. Like, it felt more like I had, like, channeled through what I was supposed to channel, or I had brought through, you know, I had said what I was supposed to say, I had done what I needed to do basically, and then it had all come through me, and then I felt kind of empty afterwards, and in a good way, like I'd gotten it all out, and like it kind of made my brain turn off completely. And as someone that like is always thinking, and I tend to be someone who, you know, naturally tends to worry, and I had to kind of like work on that, to like come out of that place of worrying and being anxious. It's like it felt so good to just not have that at all. Like I was just like, yep, I feel good, I feel cool, I'm like grounded. And I think that's what it was, like I felt grounded. And so that was awesome. So thank you so much, everyone that's in that class. I hope, well, I know we're gonna have a great time, and I hope you enjoyed it. So yeah, but today what I want to talk about is my new deck, my Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle deck. So a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a couple of months ago now, I got a question online from a lovely fellow Instagrammer, and she was asking me, I'm making sure I got pronouns right. I hope she's okay if you're listening. If it's not, then I apologize. Please let me know. I hate getting people's pronouns wrong, and I just sometimes I can't remember if it's like which one it is. So yeah, I hope she is okay. But if not, you know, hit me up and let me know, and I apologize. And I will apologize in person, so to speak. Anyway, I'm gonna go with they, because you know what, they, if it doesn't matter, you know, they is just good, I think. They asked me about the deck basically, because it's a tarot and oracle deck, so they were kind of asking me about the structure of the deck, like how does it work together, and kind of what's the, you know, idea behind it essentially, I guess. And I really liked the question, and I thought it was a really good question, because you really don't see a lot of decks like that out there that are like a mix of both. You'll either get like every deck that I've seen that's blended, that I'm aware of at least, is sort of like it's blended, but they didn't really intend it to be that way. Like, so I'd say like the things like Psychic Tarot for the Heart is a blended tarot oracle deck, but they designed it like tarot, and they never really describe it like an oracle so much. I don't know, like I just think you don't see a lot of decks that have both in it. I know there's like the the Cosmos Tarot and Oracle, where they're two separate decks, and that's really what I was going more for. So yeah, like it's been done obviously, but you didn't see it a lot, and so I think it makes sense for people to maybe not fully know exactly what this deck is or how you would use it. So I wanted to talk about that in today's episode. So the Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle is my fourth deck, and it's my first deck that has a tarot in it. All of my other decks have been oracle. And you might remember like a year or two ago I was making another deck that was going to be a tarot, but that kind of like it started to not feel right to me, and I was having issues with it, so I kind of put it to the side because I didn't want to make something and release it and not be happy with it and it not feel right. So I just didn't like I won't release something if it doesn't feel right. So I last year I started to work on this new deck, and it came together pretty quickly, which happens for me quite a lot. Like once I actually get going on a deck, it's like I'm channeling spirit through as well, so they kind of help me to, it just happens pretty quickly. So I made this deck, and I made the Major Arcana, and then I was thinking, you know, oh, do I want to do the Minors as well? But I actually felt really cool to doing an Oracle deck to go with it. So essentially what the Go Beyond Tarot and Oracle is it's a, let me count. 30, 40, 50, 54. I think 54 cards, right? Pretty sure it's 54 cards. That's terrible. And 22, yeah, it is 54, because 22 of them are tarot, so they're the whole major arcana of the tarot, and then the other 32 are an oracle deck. So basically the way that I designed it is to have the major arcana, so from the Fool through to the World, is that first part of the deck, is the tarot. And then the other 32 cards are an oracle, so they don't follow the structure of tarot at all. They have completely different names. They're not really intended necessarily to align with the minors. They're not in place of the minors, so it's really like a major's deck and then an oracle. You know, the oracle isn't standing in necessarily for what the minors would be. But having said that, one of the things that came up in this question was like, are they made to be used together? You know, is it like the oracle expands on the majors, or like what's going on there? And really, like, it does work well like that. And I think that's because that's how I read decks in general, no matter what deck I'm using. Is a lot of the time I like to use a couple decks together, and I use one to like extrapolate on the other. So one to describe what the other's talking about, or to give a focus to it, or to say, like, it's like extra information. And so that's what this oracle deck is really designed for, is to give like extra information and more information alongside the other cards, if they come up in the same reading. Because sometimes you might get all majors, so you got all tarot, and sometimes you might get all oracle and no tarot, and then it's like you kind of just read it the way that you normally would, you know, if you were reading just tarot or just oracle. But I really wanted it to be like intermingled, so you'll find with this deck that they all have the same backs. I didn't use a different back with them, because that's something that I've never liked in the like combined decks, like the Cosmos Tarot and Oracle. They had different backs, and so it meant that you couldn't shuffle them all together and then pick, because I mean you could, but like you would know, unless you closed your eyes, you would know which one you were picking. And I didn't like that. Like, I wanted it to be fully integrated with each other, so you wouldn't know when you're just looking at the card backs, like, oh yeah, this is the tarot part and this is the oracle part. So they're all the same backs. They are, the backs are technically non-reversible because they're slightly different on the top and the bottom. Having said that, it's so similar that I think you can use it reversed, if that makes sense. And all of the designs for this are the way that I started making them came from, I'm just separating them out, came from when I started to make my spirit guide portraits. So if you've seen my spirit guide portraits before, and I still do them, you know, it's a collage. It's basically where I source different images that look like what the guide looks like, what they're showing me, what they're surrounded by, and I make an image to be able to show someone, this is what your guide looks like, this is what they're showing me, so that I get to share that vision. I hadn't had the idea for this deck when I started making this, but looking at those, I started to think, maybe I could do that, you know, and make a deck out of it. Because I had a deck made and printed of my, a lot of the spirit guide portraits I had done, and didn't put any words on them, but I found that it was a little too, without any words, I didn't really have anything to hone in on with it, so I don't really use them as a deck. But I liked the idea. So what I did was I started making these images basically the same as a spirit guide portrait, where I made a collage, but then I used a filter on it to turn it into like a watercolor style image, so it looks like a painting. And I really like how that looks. So I was like, okay, yes, cool. That's what I'm going for. So yeah, it's literally, that's what the whole deck is made up of, is these portraits, basically these images that to me encapsulate the energy of that card, and then they're in like a watercolor style. And so I want to talk a little bit about the images, just because I very purposefully kind of, like, it's very much my deck, you know. I really wanted to change some of the kind of traditional imagery, and make it more inclusive, make it more, just more, actual people. Like, I wanted it to feel more real. And I specifically really wanted to create a deck that is more inclusive and more, you know, kind of representative, I guess, of like the LGBTQ community, because being part of that community myself, being, I'm going to use the word queer here. So I hope that that doesn't bother you. I know some people don't like the word queer. And I like to kind of put this thing out there, this disclaimer for myself. The way I feel about the word queer is that I like it. I like it as a description for myself. And I don't have an issue with someone else calling me queer. That is also part of the LGBTQ plus community. But I wouldn't want someone just that I don't know at all, who's, you know, maybe a stranger, or someone straight, to come up to me and say, oh, you're queer. So I know it has like a, you know, that word's got history for sure, and different people don't like it, you know, or do like it, they use it, they don't want to use it, that's fine. I like to use it, you don't have to use it, but I hope that, you know, you won't be offended or upset by me using it myself. Anyway, I wanted it to be more representative of the community that I'm part of. And so I wanted to take like certain cards that, you know, in most decks, they're like a man and a woman, like the lovers, and change that. And I wanted to take the Emperor, who's, you know, that very like traditional, masculine, and I'm wearing the armor and all of that, and like change that as well. Like the patriarch kind of image, and the Hierophant I wanted to change as well. I'm looking through the cards that I've got right now. The Chariot is different. The Mage. The Magician in my deck is called the Mage. And I wanted to show someone in that who is, to me, very androgynous. You know, representing, you know, like, non-binary. Representing different expressions of, like, masculine and feminine energies, or whatever you want to call it. The Empress to me as well has this androgynous look. I actually imagine them, the Empress specifically, as being trans, so I really wanted to like bring that into the deck and represent that. One of the figures on the Lovers really feels like trans to me as well, so like I really wanted to bring that in and represent that, because that's one of the things that I just always annoys me in tarot decks, is like, yeah, you know, the Lovers is gonna be a man and a woman and it's just two people, or like the Hierophant is an old dude and the Emperor is an old dude and the Empress is a pregnant woman, and I'm just like, oh my god, I'm so bored with that. I'm so bored. Like, I want to see different things, you know. So you'll find in this, yeah, the Mage, I love the Magician card. It became the, I renamed it the Mage, because it's all very, like, pink and things, so it's a sort of, like, I guess, you know, stereotypically more feminine colours, but I wanted to have it as, like, kind of throwing those things out. Like, why do those things have to be considered that, you know? Why can't pink be that powerful, manifesting, like, confidence, and like, why can't the Magician look softer, you know? And then the Empress, I very specifically didn't want them to be pregnant, because, you know, it's fine, like, being in pregnancy and fertility and everything is definitely, you know, part of the history and story of the Empress card, but I didn't want it to be like, I just see it so much and I'm just like, that's not all there is. Like, it feels like a very surface level, like, oh, I'm gonna portray this is feminine, so pregnancy, and I'm just like, well, you know, not necessarily. Like, I wanted to really show a figure and say, like, and challenge those ideas and get to think outside the box of, like, if we get rid of that, like, oh, woman pregnant thing, like, what else is there? What else could represent fertility? Like, with this person, they've got these really, like, beautiful, vibrant lips and these blue eyes, and there's a sunflower, and their clothes have, like, look kind of floral, so that to me is that, like, growth and fertility, and they've also got this kind of delicacy to them, but this strength as well, and there's water in the background. So it's like, I took the traditional Rider-Waite images and I did, you know, use some of the symbols for them, but I also changed a lot of it to represent more of what I like about that card or how I read that card. Like the death card. So death in this deck is represented by a person. Again, quite androgynous looking. And they're in this white shroud. And to me, that's because I wanted to show that kind of the power of death and like harnessing that power. And that, you know, I think sometimes when the death card comes up, it's like transformation and change, but we have to really accept the power to change that, or to, you know, get in the flow with that. And that can be scary. But also the white, like the cleansing, the purity, also representing the skeleton, so like a nod to the traditional. And it also makes me think of like a shroud, and it also makes me think of like spirit, like almost like an angel or something. With the Fool, I wanted to make them a little bit more modern. I love the Fool card. And it's really nice because I can look through the deck and say, I love these cards. Like, I love the way they turned out. I love how the images came out. The Hierophant is all the Hierophant. Doesn't have a person on it. It has a doorway, like a golden doorway, and then like a figure of the goddess and a stone, like a crystal and a candle. So I really wanted to take the person out of that, or the people out of it, and be like, you know, the Hierophant can be is spirituality. It doesn't have to be the institution. It doesn't have to be the church, you know. Like, I think you can look at this card and read it like that, because the door kind of looks, it's this like really ornate door, but it's like behind that institution and behind that specific idea or that specific like form, it's like spirituality is there behind that, and it's more fluid. The Moon to me has a really surreal feeling. It's a person on it that looks like they're wearing a little mushroom hat, and then looks like they're holding a little mushroom. So that goes to that kind of subconscious strange feeling. The Moon in it is actually represented by a jellyfish. So it's really, and this card's like super blue, so it's like really watery feeling. The World I changed to be two hands reaching to this book, where there's this like paint and gold and all of this like glitter. It's like creativity, and that to me is like books, is like, you know, telling a story, completing our story, but also making our story what we want it to be, making our world what we want. The magic that we have intrinsically in us, the hands have gold fingertips. The Hermit I changed to be someone who's younger. The Tower is a big one that I changed a lot. So, you know, if you've ever had a reading from me, you'll know that I don't read the Tower the typical way at all. So I wanted to reflect that in this Tower card. So to me, when I read the Tower, I think of it very much as like divine intervention, a divine strike, divine realization. Like the divine is kind of like hitting us with this knowledge, this understanding, and it brings down the old ways of doing things. It brings down our old structures. It makes things, you know, feel a little chaotic. But then once the air clears, we actually have like an open space to create something new. And we also have the raw materials, like we have the bricks that were being used in that old tower to make something new. So you'll see in this card as well, there's like a face that's in the stars, so that represents the divine to me, kind of watching over us as well, that even when we're going through these chaotic moments, it's like spirit is there with us. And then there's these three hands in the picture too, and it's like a grown-up hand and a baby hand together, and then there's another hand reaching in with like a pine cone. So that to me represents very much that pulling down the old, building something new, allowing ourselves new growth, planting new things, that kind of, you know, energy and idea. The Sun is represented by an older person, because I wanted to. And I just like that idea of like the innocence of the sun and the sweetness of the sun, and that we can grow at every age and different ways to grow. The Chariot is two people linking arms and like stepping onto this planet. This to me was very much about like taking that control and our willpower of like focusing our journey and directing our journey, and also the interpretation with the chariot of like the divine and kind of handing over to the divine and allowing spirit to guide us as well. So that's why they're like in space. And then the planet underneath is like that raw power, because I always think the chariot has like this raw power kind of feeling to it. And then the devil is different as well. It doesn't have the chains, it just has this like rich red brocade in the background, this person with like a wreath. So that's, and they actually look like a child or like young. So that to me is like, sometimes power and our cycles and our repetitions being undercover, like sometimes we don't see them, or we don't see what we give power, and that kind of thing, and how we can break it. The wheel, I renamed the Wheel of Judgment, Judgment is the second card after it, the Wheel of Fortune, to just be the wheel, because I hate the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune is my least favorite major card, because it's so, like, to me, it was that was the card that took me the longest to learn, and even now when it turns up in a reading, I have a moment sometimes just being like, what the heck is that? Like, why is that there? So I changed it a little bit to be the wheel, so it's more representative of, like, cycles. Also, new cycles, starting something new, like a new journey. The background is quite abstract, and it's based on I used an abstract painting of mine and then turned it into this, like, watercolory with the collage over the top. There's also a hand with, like, snail shells, so that, to me, is also that cyclical journey. Starting new cycles, growing into like bigger shells. Judgment I changed as well to be more like, because I hate the word judgment. Like, to me, judgment is I think of it as the phoenix from the ashes, but I didn't want to completely rename that card, because I know not everyone reads judgment that way. So to me, this is much more of like a transformation, like ascending into something new, a new rebirth, like being called card. Like, that's what that figure represents to me. What else have we got to talk about specifically? Strength is a bear. It's Bianca, but who's my guide? And it has a butterfly. She has a butterfly on her head. That to me is that like mixing of instinct or our animal self, our strength, our rawness with, you know, transcendence and like the soul and all of that kind of thing. The star is like super happy. She's still got the blue in the background, but she's got this like light coming out from her heart, and that to me is like knowing our way, like being able to find our way forward again, and that it's kind of inside us. The hanged man is not a man. I changed them to be like, it's two versions of the same person, and it's like one is in the water kind of and listening and has their eyes closed, so they're kind of withdrawn, and then the other has the eyes open, is coming down from the air, and they're like balanced on each other, and so it's like new perspectives and seeing things from different ways because they're upside down, and you know, that kind of thing. Justice is the same person again, one in black, one in white, clothing, and they're like forming these pillars, and then it's like these mountains behind them. So I changed that quite a lot. Temperance is just like, they're all pretty much changed imagery, but I hope and I think they will make sense to people. Like, they're very intuitive, and I really like that. So that's the major arcana. I'm going to go to the ad break now, and then when I come back, I'm going to talk about the oracle portion of the deck. All right. So while I was away, I had to go feed my chickens. make sure everyone had food and water, and we're all good. So, now we're going to talk about the oracle portion of the deck. So, like I was saying earlier, this isn't really made to replace the miners. It's not really made in the style of a tarot deck, so I didn't really use the imagery of the tarot like I sort of did with the mages. But the tarot part of the deck might be quite different from, say the Rider-Waite-Smith, the original, but it does take cues from the imagery in that. So I think you kind of can still compare it to the Rider-Waite-Smith. You could still use the kind of meanings from that original deck and find them in the tarot part, whereas this oracle part is just completely its own thing. So I really like this deck because I do think you can use these cards as ways to tap further into the message of that Major Arcana card, like I said earlier, and like I said was in the original question as well. So, like, for example, I'm just going to do one right now where you could separate the deck and have, a pile of the mages and a pile of this oracle deck, and then you pull one from the mages, which I've just done, and then you shuffle the so you can call them miners, they're not miners. You shuffle the oracle part and you get another card. Let's go with that one. And then you combine them, so you do use them to read each other. So the two cards that we got are the Fool from the Major Arcana and Spectrum is the card from the Oracle. So seeing this, to me, it makes me feel like the message I'm getting from this is looking at the new beginnings aspect of the Fool. So, like, taking a leap of faith, having new beginnings, going on a new journey and things like that. The Spectrum part to me makes me feel like we're kind of all on a spectrum of our stories and where we're going and what feels like a new beginning to us and what feels like the middle of the journey or the end of the journey to us, and how us, something for me that feels like, oh, that's the end of a journey for me, or that's the middle of a journey for me, might feel like a new journey for you, and how we can all help each other because our paths kind of like overlay each other. So what's your new beginning, where you're maybe the Fool in your own journey of one part of your life, I might be further on in that journey, I might represent the Hermit or something in your particular journey, and so I can be that for you, and then you could actually also at the same time be the Hermit for me in my journey. So say, like, let's take me teaching these tarot classes, for example. So I've got some people in that class have never used tarot ever before, so they're kind of the Fool, like, on this very new journey, and I could be, the Hierophant. I've already done it for a long time, like, I've gained the knowledge of it, and now I want to pass it on. Now, and we're in a class, we're in a building, so there is an institution there, but I'm, like, sharing this spiritual information, or I'm sharing this knowledge of how to tap into this, which I think of the Hierophant as being as well, like, how to connect with the divine. So we're on a spectrum there, but then, I'm the Fool in teaching. Like, I've never taught a big class before, and so every single person in that class is teaching me something. They're the Hierophant for me. Like, they could even represent, like, the Lovers for me. Like, it feels kind of fated, or it feels like I'm helping people tap into these energies. They could be the High Priestess, or, it's like, everyone can represent something different to everyone on their journey, and that's how we can work as a community. And, like, that's the thing that I really wanted this deck to feel like, was, like, community, and, like, everyone represented. I mean, in a deck, obviously, I think you're always going to have where you could represent more, and you could have more diversity, and you could have more in it, and I completely, like, own that, and I always want to be striving towards having more in my decks, and more different people, and more situations, and all of that. But, like, that's what I really wanted to create with this deck, was, like, a reflection of, if you pick up this deck, you can see a reflection of yourself in it and a reflection of the people that you know. Like, it's not, this was a big thing that I wanted to, was to, for not everyone in it to be white, you know, and I think, like, or thin, or, you know, see, I was going to say able-bodied. I really struggle with that word, because I hate the idea. I don't know. I have to kind of figure out my own thing there too, with my own journey with my body, because, like, for me, I have a lot of things with my body that people can't see, that affects, like, my mobility and things, but people don't understand it because they can't see anything to do with it. Like, there's nothing that explains it. So I really struggle with, like, the wording of it, of, I need to work on that more, of, like, body, words for bodies. I don't know. Does anyone else find that difficult? Like, if you're, like, what you would consider to be, or I think it's especially if someone else would look at me and say, oh, you're disabled because of this, and, like, I'm like, well, no, I don't think that I am. Or, like, the other way around, sometimes the people kind of look at me and go, well, you should be able to do this because blah blah blah, and I'm like, but I can't, I physically can't do that. Like, and it's like, you shouldn't just assume that about me. So I think, like, to me, language around around bodies is so much assumption, and I find that difficult. But anyway, like, there's people in the deck that use mobility aids. I wanted to show that as well, you know, like, not just, I just didn't want, like, all the same, like, white, thin, you know, whatever, like, I wanted everything in it to be, to show difference, and, like, different religions, different self-expression, like, yeah, not everyone's straight, not everyone's, you know, male or female, it's like this, I really wanted to show that in this. I also included animals in the deck, just because I love animals, and animals to me are really good at expressing certain energies. So, like, the spectrum card has a toucan on it, then the becoming card has a lion, the free and wild card is, like, someone in a wolf mask, there's feathers, there's a cat, there's a parrot, there's butterflies, there's also flowers, yeah, I'm looking through, dogs. I think that's it for the animals. Yeah, just, and about, you know, and things like in the majors that we already talked about as well. So yeah, I really wanted to just have a deck that just felt more inclusive, like people could look at it and see themselves and feel like it's for them. Like, because for me, like, when I see a deck and it's like the lovers is a man and a woman, it's like, you know, on some, Is it going to stop me using the deck? No, probably not. But would it be so nice to, like, open a deck and see two, you know, femmes? Or, like, yeah, it would be really nice. Because it's like, I'm the lovers too. Like, me and my wife is the lovers too, you know. A man and his husband is the lovers too. Like, two non-binary people are the lovers too. Like, it doesn't have to be just that. Oh, the lovers is the one that really annoys me with that, just because it's so, like, right there, you know, and I know it's like that, it's, I think it's just old fashioned is the thing, it's like going off Adam and Eve and blah blah blah, and there's all that, I'm sure, but, like, I'm just bored of it, I just want to do something different, so I did. Also within this, there's, like, I'm looking at card names. There's, like, some that represent, like, my spiritual way of looking at things, I guess, and, like, there's kindred spirits, so I think of, like, soulmates, there's, transcendence, animal guides, or spirit guides being in it, synthesis, faces of divinity, so different ways to experience the divine, like, different goddesses and gods and beings like that, there's dreaming, so, like, dream work and journeys and things like that, One of my favorite cards in this oracle pot is intimacy, and that to me is really, it's these two people like kind of entwined, like they're sitting opposite each other and they're touching each other's faces, and it's so joyful. And that to me, I did want it to be like kind of feminine, you know, man or woman, or feminine and masculine presenting, because I wanted it to be a card about like shared intimacy and how we can be intimate with people that we care about, and it doesn't have to be sexual. Like, there's a card in this called Attraction that is, you know, kind of like a sexy card. Like, it looks sexy. It's a guy that looks sexy. There's the apple, so it's not like temptation. So it's like, yeah, sexuality, great. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the sexual aspect of intimacy. But, like, intimacy isn't just sexual. And I think, like, in our society right now, we get that. You know, it's like, if two people are intimate with each other, if they hold each other, if they touch, you know, they touch each other's face, they whatever, it's like, oh, they're together, that's like a sexual thing. And I think it makes it where we stop touching people, because we're like, well, you know, that's not what it is. So, like, I wanted to have a card that shows like intimacy that isn't, it's not sexual, or it can be, but it doesn't have to be. You know, like, if you've got intimacy and that attraction card, then yeah, it might be showing like sexuality, and like a sexual relationship. But I feel like I've just said that word so many times. But like, it really doesn't have to be that. There's also, I have got two cards. I've got Divine Masculine and Goddess Calling in here. And I saw someone recently talking about not liking that language of Divine Masculine, Divine Feminine, and things like that, because of the gender binary. I think their post is like, the gender binary is not divine, and I completely get that. I also like released, you know, I came up with this deck like the end of last year, and then I just saw this, but like, it did get me thinking, and I was like, yeah, I think that's fair enough to say, like, why do we have to have feminine and masculine, or describe energy as feminine and masculine, and like getting into that and looking at like, well, when you say that, what do you mean? For me, like, feminine and masculine, I think of it more in terms of yin and yang, and that I think comes from, like, you know, my training. Like, I was an acupuncturist first, and so yin and yang and that energy was always a big part of my learning. But the thing that I come back to with yin and yang is when, like, traditionally it is that yang is masculine, so yang is like the white part, the like light part, the energy, the sun, and then the yin part is the black part, it's the feminine, it's receptive, and, you know, which I think is like, that word with feminine, that's such a weird, yeah, like, there's definitely issues with it, you know, but I think it also works, and like, on some levels, like, and also with yin and yang, when you look at the symbol, they're both in each other, and when one becomes the most maximum of what it can be, it becomes the other one. So it's like, to me, it's much more fluid, and I think, like, I don't think we necessarily need to get rid of these concepts completely of like feminine and masculine. I think we just need to allow more fluidity in that we don't have to be just one or just the other. But, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion on that, so it is in the deck. If you don't like that, I completely understand, but it's in there. What else is there? Looking through. Got boundaries, sensing change, self-discovery. Like, this deck, I wanted to feel very empowering, like, very, you know, where we're at right now is powerful, but also being able to feel like direction of, if I want to feel more powerful, what do I need, or what can I do, you know, kind of like accepting where we are right now as powerful, and that we don't have to be anything other than what we are. Like, our true self is, you know, outside of like human concepts, and which kind of I take from things like A Course in Miracles, which is sort of this idea of like sin and the concept of like forgiveness and stuff like that is all very much in with that fear and love, and that the spirit or the soul, the pure soul, is like pure love. So I kind of like wanted a deck that would show that too. But Yeah. Okay, so then the other thing is you can, I also used colour a lot to represent, like, be very symbolic in this deck. So when you see a certain colour, like green, blue, red, you know, purple, whatever, it's like I really want people to feel like, make their own connections with what that colour means to them. And that can give, like, a depth to the reading of, like, what area am I looking at, or what is this trying to show me, you know? So there's that aspect of it as well. I do want to say the cards aren't numbered, so they don't have any numbers, they just have titles. The tarot section doesn't have numbers either. I know some people don't like that, but I don't really care that much about the numbers, just for myself. I do use them when I'm reading sometimes, so, like, if I do a second edition of this, at some point I might put numbers on it, but there's no numbers on it right now, so they're not numbered. I'm going to be sending with orders, because you can order it now, you can order it in my Etsy shop, and very soon it will be available at the Four of Wands as well. Where was I? But it will be in alphabetical order when it's on there. I'm going to be sending out like a... I got a phone call in the middle of that, so I'm just going to keep going. But I'm going to be sending out like a quick reference sheet or cheat sheet of meanings for the whole deck, which I've never done before with decks. So that is something that I've taken on board from people saying, like, it'd be nice to just have a quick guide with it, you know. It'll just be a printout, so it won't be anything fancy. I do want to work on a companion book as well that people will be able to order, like, from, you know, Lulu or something, where it'll be a printed book. To go more in depth, but I do want to give a quick reference sheet with the deck. So yeah, that'll be a thing that comes with it. Okay, so I think I've talked about everything that I wanted to talk about with the deck, and hopefully I've answered the questions about it there. It is, like I said, it's available to purchase in the shop, in my Etsy shop, which is thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. I have 3 copies right now ready to ship, so if you buy one right now, it will go out on Tuesday. I'm going to be getting more in as well. The Four of Wands will have copies real soon, so I'll let you all know when that is as well. Honestly, it does help me if you buy it direct from me, but I mean, it helps if you buy it from the shop too, because then I get more orders that way too, you know, through like wholesale. So meh, whatever. Do wherever you like. But I think that's everything, right? As always, if you want to book a reading with me, you can come and see me at the Four of Wands every Friday and Saturday. Check on social media, like Instagram, the day of, because I will post my like definite hours and times there every time. Usually on a Friday I'm there between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. is usually when I take my last reading, but I can take up to 5:30. And Saturdays are, well, no, because our new closing time at the shop is 6, so 5 is really my last reading slot. And then Saturdays I'm there between 10:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. and then sometimes there's a read after me, and that's Patrice. She's super nice. Sometimes there isn't, but I teach my classes on Saturday nights at the moment, so yeah, I really can't go later than 4 p.m. for an appointment on a Saturday. Yeah, but we've had some issues in the past couple of weeks. Like, I was ill one week and I couldn't go, and then the weather was really bad, so I had to leave early. And then yeah, so just keep an eye on social media just to make sure that I'm going to be there. You can always DM me to book an appointment through Instagram, or you can book an appointment, or you can, well, a reading with me in the Etsy shop, which, like I said, thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. There's lots of readings on there to choose from, and that will come as an audio recording with photos of the cards. So I've had lots of people say it's like being with me in person. It's like sitting down with a cup of tea and we're going to do a reading just like I do in person. So yeah, if you want to do that, please, please feel free. I am here to help. I am here to assist. Here to be of service. Blessedly, very lucky to do that. And I'm sending you all so much love. And yeah, I will talk to you next week. Bye for now.